If I could have gotten 51 votes in the Senate of the United States for an outright ban, picking up every one of them.
Yeah, I know. She's not from Seattle, but she wants to be. Right, here it is. I've never done this before. It is a con within a con wrapped up. No, it's a swindle within a swindle, all wrapped up into a great big con. Here's the players. You got SDOT. Okay, that's one of the players. They're the con. Okay, they're the con artist. The mark. The mark's consistent. It's the busy, arrogant, lazy Seattle rich voter who can't be bothered to pull their head out of their area long enough to realize that they're getting taken like a first-year business student trying to negotiate with a 50-year executive. They're getting taken. They're getting pantsed. They're too lazy and arrogant to realize it. So they're the mark. You got SDOT. They're one of the con artists. You got the Seattle City Light. They're one of the con artists. And it's all wrapped up into a swindle being directed by people who know that as long as they sufficiently hate Trump and say garbage like this,
he will have domestic violence, homicides in schools because there's guns there.
Then you can rule forever.
There was the sting, Ocean's 11, and the Italian Job. But why rely on fiction when we have the real thing? The Todd Herman Show presents today's episode of The Great Political Swindle.
Directing the con, get the Seattle City Council. Being directed by the con, you got Mayor Jelly Durka. The first example of the con today. You know the ridiculous streetcar? The ridiculous streetcar that's waiting on a $450,000 report. This is a $200 million to $400 million streetcar. At the same time as citizens from Magnolia are being told the city can't afford to build a bridge, you're going to have to swim or maybe build yourself a drone or buy a submarine to get home. That streetcar, slower than walking, even uphill, deadly, killed a woman at one of the few times it was actually working. Broke the femur on a cop in one of the few windows in which it actually worked. Threw another woman in front of it and nearly killed her. And I repeat, is slower than walking. It needs more money for last year. It is $500,000 over budget from last year. A useless toy. So they have to dig into the budget and give it $500,000 to be slower than walking, even uphill, and for killing a young woman. The top of the con, the Seattle City Council. Because as long as you sufficiently say junk like this,
that is an act of war to invest in white supremacy and terrorism with this bunker.
And listen to clowns like this.
I don't make stuff up. I don't have phony math.
You can be like this.
Don't drop that dirt.
And be in charge. That's the con. Now we get to wrapped within a con. Speaking of cons, the interim SDOT director talking about this ridiculous streetcar and these bike lanes that were going to cost, what was it, $600,000? They ended up tossing $12 million.
I can't speak to what happened in the past. I assume it was not a con job. I don't know exactly what drove those decisions. Would I have done the same decisions?
You don't think it was a con job. I've heard you're a really good guy. It's a con job. Let's test the theory of the lazy, arrogant, rich Seattle voter who can't be bothered to pull their head out of their area. You're a GM. You're on a division. You're sitting at the report. Direct report. Jerry, I just wanted to check on the numbers in the project you're running there, the bike lane project. We had budgeted $600,000 for that. How are we looking on the budget?
We're floating around $12 million.
That point, you're fired. At that point, you're probably charged with embezzlement. At that point, you never work in an industry again. I said it's a con within a con, or pardon me, it's a swindle within a swindle wrapped up into a con, right? So Seattle City Light, they have gotten an okay to raise their rates 30%. Well, Durka Durka and the Seattle City Council has said, we think you should re-examine your business model.
That is an ongoing challenge for utilities across the country.
The City Council approved
it. Actually, it's an ongoing challenge for government-run monopolies. Now, think of this. Private utilities are not having the same challenges as monopolistic, one source, everybody must pay, monopoly things like Seattle City Light.
That is an ongoing challenge for utilities across the country.
The City Council approved a measure which would cause power bills to grow 30% by 2024. A typical residential bill of $65 in 2019 would increase to $85 6 years from now.
But don't worry, that makes housing more affordable.
City Light says maintenance of hydroelectric dams, wires, poles, and other infrastructure is placing a significant...
Yeah, also the fact that you've expanded the number of executives working for you from something around 26 to 38. That has a little bit to do with it as well. Also because you pay your so-called CEO a king's wage. Also because you're hiding something. Remember I said it's a swindle within a swindle, all wrapped up into a con. What's the other reason Seattle City Light's rates are going up? Quick. Someone, anyone on the text line, 800-465-8770? No? Sound Transit. Yep. The idiotic floating bridge project of slapping a choo-choo train onto a floating bridge. That project where the engineers for Sound Transit forgot, and I am not joking, they forgot water sloshed. Someone did an equation, an engineer, that indicated water only goes up and down in a neat linear cycle. Up, down, no, in other words, horizontal movement. It doesn't slosh. So they based their plans on that. And then at some point, someone, and I imagine they're sitting in the office and they accidentally bump a transparent glass of water, translucent glass of water, and they go, oh, hell in a handbasket. What's wrong, Gene? My water's sloshing. It's not going up and down in a neat linear line. It's not predictable. All of a sudden, there goes the contingency budget. The choo-choo train over I-90 is now 40% over budget. What does this have to do with the swindle within a swindle wrapped up into a con? To put that stupid choo-choo across a bridge where it doesn't belong, and I ain't ever riding because it's going to land in the water one day, they had to tear out the utilities. They had to go all around Seattle and tear out the utilities, and Sound Transit, the con artists there, including the so-called CEO Pete Rogoff, who is literally getting CEO training on the job because he liked to say things like, according to his own internal report, he liked to go to public events and say,
now remember, African-Americans need more help at work, so if you're white, make sure to help them.
Paraphrasing out of his own internal report. That's one of the reasons these are going up. Oh, I'm not even done. Todd Myers at the Washington Policy Institute points out that Seattle City Light has wasted $184 million that was created to help salmon habitat. The utility is paying $210 million to build a new Denny substation that had been pegged at $89 million. They are paying $48 million, it was a Seattle Public Utilities had soared from $48 million to $110 million, a billing system. So it almost tripled their billing system. Additionally, they forgot sales tax in the new forced smart meters that monitor your home power. All this adds up to them coming back and saying, we need more money for salmon. Which takes us right back up to...
I don't make stuff up. I don't have phony math.
Yes.
Put that debt on my grandchildren.
Like I said, it's a swindle within a swindle, all wrapped up into a con. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. Take ourselves a little bit of a trip to the left. It's always a fun trip, but buckle up and remember, do not feed the Marxists. Back. Hey, see, now that's clever what you did there. Good job, Tom. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KCTH. Let's take ourselves a trip to the left. We start here. Recognize the song, anyone? Sympathy for the Devil. Come on. Give us some props. On the left. Trip to the left. We start here. The fake socialist, who was in fact, did you hear she had to update her? She had to update her bio. This Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez had to update her bio. She's not from the Bronx. She lived in a very nice middle upper income home in upstate New York. Her dad was a CEO and an architect. Girls, as she calls herself, girls like her are supposed to grow up and be politicians. That's what they do. She issued the following tweet. Socialism didn't fail Venezuela. Democracy did. Now, she is a democratic socialist, so she says. She describes the difference between an ordinary Marxist and a democratic Marxist.
There's this huge difference between socialism and democratic socialism. Yep. Democratic socialism, and really what that boils down to me is the basic belief that I believe that in a moral and wealthy America, in a moral and modern America, no person should be too poor to live.
Wait, wasn't the question about democratic socialism and the difference between that and normal socialism? But mind you, people eating zoo animals, the lack of or complete non-existence of toilet paper, that's not the problem of socialism, that's democracy. Tucker Carlson asked Cornel West about the missing toilet paper in Venezuela where people are eating zoo animals and where the government is for real. No joke. Sending out kill squads for people who are trying to, leave the country.
Has it struck you as interesting that it's never actually worked anywhere? So the question is not what are our goals. Our goals are the same. How do we get there is the question. So what happened in Venezuela? They call that democratic socialism, but they don't have toilet paper. And it's less equal than ever.
It is less equal than ever because it's a strange thing. Now, I don't want to alarm you or cause you to accidentally learn anything during the program. But in Venezuela, did you know they took the guns from folks? So only the government has them. So they send these kill squads out saying, you can't, it's your turn to go work on the farms. Oh, you didn't hear about that? Down where it's not socialism, but democracy that's failed Venezuela? Yeah, they are now forcing people to spend time working in the farms. So you could be a doctor, a surgeon. Not that working in farms isn't just as valuable as being a doctor, it is. But you can be forced to go spend a couple of months in the fields because they can't get it done any other way. But it's the socialists, the democracy that's failed Venezuela, not socialism. In the democracy, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the fake Bronx girl, they voted for this, we're told to believe, because people like you have continually told the sweet lie about socialism because people like you continue. Well, first of all, you don't even know what it is. You can't describe it or name it, but Bernie knows.
You know, it's funny. Sometimes American journalists talk about how bad a country is because people are lining up for food. That's a good thing. In other countries, people don't line up for food. The rich get the food and the poor starve to death.
You know, people are saying it's a bad thing. You know, American journalists, the people in Venezuela are eating zoo animals. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Zoo animals should be eaten just like any other animal. In fact, I hate flamingos because a flamingo, that's an elitist bird. I mean, what else is pink? You think, name for me another animal that's pink and stands on one leg. That's the Donald Trump of birds. Just looking down upon other birds because it can stand on one leg with its pink wings. And I hate them. I hate all flamingos. So, of course, it's a good thing that the people have risen up and they have eaten the elitist flamingos. Speaking of free speech, Bernie just issued there. Remember, we're on our trip to the left. Outside of the protests pre-made by Think Progress around the SCOTUS nominee, where they'd pre-printed signs, some for Amy Coney Barrett, some for Hardiman, some for others. They had those pre-printed. They handed out the correct ones, it seemed. Fox News had to leave the scene.
As you said, last year, there were certainly protesters out there, and there was definitely opposition to Justice Gorsuch upon his name being announced that night. Tonight, we saw something different. We did have a plan to have our show out there live. It got so volatile at points that we ultimately didn't feel like it would be safe to do an hour of live television out there. Where are we?
Yeah, where are we? We're looking at the left. Mind you, the Antifa, Rose City Antifa, they got themselves some guns. They're saying we're serious. Oh, yeah, they put it up on Facebook. Close off our trip to the left with a couple of people taking not the whole red pill, but at least admitting there's something really, really wrong with the left. Jerry Seinfeld and some guy, I don't know, Zach Galifa something or other, agreed on this show, this Netflix thing about comedians valuing their opinions as they drive around in cars.
It's so weird that colleges have become these places where of restricted thought as opposed to thought freedom.
Well, there's nothing liberal about shutting someone up.
The problem with not allowing intolerant talk is it's now you're intolerant.
Well, how do you judge what's intolerant?
Exactly.
Well, I can judge it. It's intolerant when you're telling other people to shut their holes and yelling them down. That's one way to judge it. All right, we'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. I talked about this earlier. Dramala Harris, Bombshell Squad on Twitter, has given her a new nickname. I want to go back at this because I am not done with Dramala Harris scaring young women around the country. This is the perfect nominee for the left. Since we just spent some time on the left, you got to hear this. You got to hear it. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. I do want to get to this Dramala Harris. That's a great nickname. And that comes from Bombshell Squad on Twitter. I want to get to some of the texts, though. 800-465-8770. Zach Galifianakis did an interview with Hillary called Between the Two Ferns, funniest political interview ever. JJ and Burian. Okay, that's that guy. He's the Two Ferns guy. Got it. Bernie Sanders, Todd, Bernie Sanders rambling about flamingos totally lightened my mood. I was super funny. Thank you, Todd. And that also came through on Twitter. People like the Bernie, and folks who asked me to do that as a regular bit, I got to tell you that that only works when I'm inspired. Otherwise, it just it sounds staged. Bellevue Rocks, love on Twitter to me, at Toddy Herman. Love the Bernie Sanders voice impression. Should create a permanent part of the show, permanent place of the show. Wait, when I'm inspired, we do it. On the topic of Venezuela and this idiot Alexandria Cortez saying that it's not socialism but democracy that's failed at the text line 800-465-8770-2795. Hey, Todd, if people are forced to work on farms, isn't that slavery? Yeah, that is slavery. Great point. 0354, what's the minimum wage for salmon? This is about Seattle City Light having wasted $200 million for salmon recovery. Now they want more, though they're over budget in everything because they don't have any accountability. What's the current minimum wage for salmon? Demand 15 now. It's impossible to be a single mother fish in the expansive Puget Sound. Love the show. God bless Will. Thank you, Will. Hey, Todd. Great show as usual. However, if we make guns illegal, people will no longer get shot. That's how we stopped everybody from doing drugs. Oh. You know, that's a strong point. I hadn't thunk of that. I've often said, let's just get this over with for once and for all, for God's sake, and outlaw crime. If we outlaw crime, it's done. Right, back to the programming portion of said program. Kamala Harris, heretofore and forevermore known in this program because of this statement as Dramala Harris.
If you are a young woman in America, or you care about a young woman in America, pay attention to this, because it will forever change your life.
Okay. Let me run through ways that this is ridiculous. It is, in fact, big government. It is, in fact, constructionist, revisionist views of the Constitution that change your life. Of course, she's referring to Roe versus Wade. And as I've constantly said, except for cases of rape or incest, right, you've had your choice. Should I date? Should I not date? Having decided to date, shall I become sexually active or shall I wait to do that? Having made the decision to become sexually active, should I use contraception? If I use contraception, should I use that which is most likely to prevent me from being faced with a child? Maybe we should double down. Maybe I'll use contraception and I'll have my partner use contraception. You have that choice. Or you could wait till you're married, till you have sex. You have a whole bunch of choices that affect no one really but you. Your partner might be sad. If you decide to wait, sad. But it's not really affecting him. Then when there's another being created, now it's no longer just a choice. In fact, it would be a negotiation if the baby could negotiate and understand something. Look, I get it. I've had friends who've had abortions. I have family members who have. I have people very close to me who have. I understand. I'm not here to be your judge. I'm making a point about choice. And you know the point I'm making. But it is activist government that will change your life forever. For instance, you have a choice to be armed and to defend yourself unless that choice is taken. And in states where they have outlawed guns, it has been taken. That's activist, period. It's constructionist. It's revisionist. The 10 original Bill of Rights did these things. It limited the power of government and it empowered the people, 100% of them. It was designed to do that. It is not believable in any way, shape, matter, idea, faction, or form, nor will it ever be, that the framers of the Constitution wrote 9 of those amendments to limit power, but then said, I know, let's give the government monopoly on force. That way, all the amendments we just wrote to the Constitution will be utterly meaningless because the people will not have arms to defend themselves. Brilliant, I say. Another instance where activist, revisionist government in a country where we had our, not first, but the major revolt that kicked off the revolution. The Tea Party was overtaxing tea, was over being told there's a limit on the tea that you can buy. It all comes from the king. The revisionist history that has changed people's lives forever, that took away 6 million insurance plans, stole it from people, was someone saying, hey, you know that plan you like? That's gone. You can't have it. Now you have to sign up for something that doesn't cover the disease you have. You cannot work with the doctors you've had. That changes lives forever. Activist government. Being forced, now, since Kamala Harris is speaking to young women here, this will change your life forever. You know what? If you're a rape survivor, because I've talked to them. If you're a rape survivor, because I've taken phone calls from them. I've met with them. I've sat with them face to face. You know what will change your life forever? Walking into a YWCA, doing a workout, going into the gym, undressing, getting into the shower when a full-grown, naked man with body hair and full-on body parts walks up next to you and goes, "Hey, I'm a chick too. How do you get your hair so glossy?" Change your life. Activist government. That's activist government. That's activist government. That changes your life. Another one. Having your house stolen because someone wants to build a pharmaceutical sales office, as happened with activist government reimagining eminent domain. Kamala Dramala Harris, you are corrected. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show with your emails, longer form communications with the show. Here we are, my favorite part of the show, your emails, social media posts, your longer form of communication with the show. The text message is done. Boom, boom, boom. Every segment, we try to put some of your words into the segments. You can text us, 800-465-8770, sponsored by None Better Tax Resolution. And, of course, you can tweet me all day long, at Toddy Herman, sometimes well into the night. I'm kind of bad that way. But to your longer form communications we go. You know, by the way, about this note, you never know when you're going to touch people. You don't. It's one of the cool things about this this radio show that you guys have helped me build and we've built together. Hey, Todd, I need to tell you about one of your listeners and how effectively you're reaching him. Let me tell you about Luke. He's 20 years old. He listens to you in Rush. He started off with a greeting and a firm handshake when I met him, and I quickly sized him up, realized this is the type of person I like working with, driven from within. He had Rush on the radio. We talked in brief about Rush, and that led to the subject of you filling in and then to your show. He lit up when he mentioned his favorite part of your show is the on a personal note section. He thinks it's awesome that you dig deep and harsh with politics, but then you wrap it up with a heart-moving story. I agreed. It's one of my favorite parts, too. It makes us grow. He even said something about not always wanting to listen to it in front of the customers because of the emotions it brings out. Sometimes he's almost tearing up because you touch people's hearts. This is a 20-year-old man working with his hands, and you're resonating with him very strongly. He's a good man, a hardworking. He takes care of the customer. He understands the importance of responsibility and being accountable. Luke is a refrigerant tech originally from Detroit. He's been in Washington for about 4 years. I'm sending this to you to understand you reach beyond just numbers of downloads. He seems like a great example to encourage younger listeners to share this show. Not sure if you can use this without using my name. I don't care if you share, just not with my name on the air. Because it would be about effectiveness, receptiveness of the younger crowd, not about me. Guys recognize men and leaders. Someone is a guidepost here. But do me a favor, my friends. If you don't want your name mentioned, tell me at the top of the show. We do the show live. Or tell me at the top of the note. Don't use my name. So, anonymous, God bless you. And to your friend Luke, Luke, you're a good man. I'd like to meet you one day. Keep working hard. And thank you for listening to the show and sharing with your friends. Now, back to the emails we go. Speaking of you never know when you'll touch people, this is from Teddy in Seattle. I listened to your ridiculous program when you ragged on the Seattle City Council for trying to do something about gun violence. You're a complete ass. You and your gun friends can stick it. We in Antifa have guns, too. So screw you. We can play with our toys probably better than you can play with yours, old man. Thank you, Teddy. Nice note. Appreciate you listening to the show. To Mike in Shelton. Dear Todd, I'm writing about the sanctuary business. We had Republicans in Congress and the White House for years, but still E-Verify is not mandatory. Still anchor babies are somehow citizens. One of the difficulties with anti-sanctuary legislation must be the concerns about Article 5, plus the erroneous aspect of the federal government seeking to dictate to local officials such as state municipality police, municipal police, what they should do. These are heady issues, and a Congress that can't make E-Verify mandatory isn't likely to tackle any such thing. But I have this thought concerning tort law. Couldn't Congress pass a law making officials who prevent anyone from reporting the presence or the release of an illegal alien fully civilly liable for harm subsequently committed by the alien? I have in mind family members of persons harmed or killed by an illegal alien being able to sue a police chief, an attorney general, a governor who ordered that no one inform ICE of the presence or pending release from custody of such person. By way of analogy, we could think of what would happen if an automobile manufacturer executive or if one of the company's cars is defective and brings about the death of someone. If the executive knew the car was defective and in a dangerous way but released it into the marketplace anyway, then we can suppose he and his company would be held civilly liable, especially since the company had the means to fix the car. If an official requires the release of an illegal alien without honoring a detainer, then the official, knowing full well the alien is a criminal and therefore dangerous and having readily available remedy of honoring the detainer, would seem to be eligible to me to be made civilly liable by the statute. One of the principles of civil law, as I understand it, is that the plaintiff must have suffered harm due to the actions or non-actions of the defendant. That basic criterion seems to be met in the circumstances that I've described. In this way, the fact that some state or local mandates non-cooperation would possibly be rendered moot. That is, the resulting conflict of law might rather be easily resolved in favor of a federal statute making state and local officials civilly liable, in which case the state or local law would be just hanging there without needing to be repealed as or ruled unconstitutional. Keep up the excellent work, please. We need you. Thank you, Mike from Shelton. I appreciate the note. Now, that's a good idea, and look, I share this with you. First, why is it that it is illegal to sue, or really hard, almost impossible to sue government, so-called government officials? Well, because the thought was that the enemies of such government officials would simply lock them up forever in lawsuits. And don't you think the left would do that? I mean, look what Sideshow Bob, a part-time attorney general, full-time seeker of gubernatorial donations, is doing. He's using his office to fundraise and to tie up Trump and to get headlines, etc. That's why that exists, is to not tie the hands of officials from doing the business of the people by being in court every single day. So that was well intended. However, it was also created during a time when we had honest and decent people, for the most part, running the country, and honest and decent people who had in their hearts the notion that they were building a country, building something that's going to last forever. The new wave of politicians, I don't think they care that much. I mean, it's a money-making game now. So here's what I suggest is when it's gross negligence, then we put skin in the game. Gross negligence. That can be identified legally, can be described legally. And I think also malfeasance of duty, demonstrable malfeasance of duty. Sleepy J. Inslee, for instance, he refused to tell the Senate and the House how bad things were at Western State Hospital because it was during a campaign. In so doing, Sleepy J. Inslee put lives at risk, and in fact, in so doing, led to a condition where two dangerously criminally insane people were able to escape. Appreciate the note. Appreciate all your notes. Todd Hermer Show will continue on AM 770 KTTH. We come back. You know, we like the Seattle spirit. You know, we like the third hour of the show. What if we do this when we come back? What if we talk about a new policy on light link rail? They're finally, they're standing up. They're standing up. They're fighting back against the, now you'll see. It's Todd Hermer Show.